Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, folks. I've got a show for you that I think you'll be interested in today. And dealing with the situation that's going on right now with the question of whether there was a massive vote hoax. I believe there was, personally. Now, it just came out on Tucker that there wasn't. And so I will get to that in just a second. Hope you're well. Today is the 20th day of November, and it is really an incredible period of time to be alive, because what we're dealing with here is something happened, and I think it was just mentioned by Lou Dobbs that we're living in a time of a fight between good and evil, and a lot of people are on the fence. A lot of people don't really seem to care. They seem to be inert, and they're not really trying to suss the situation out. And so the upshot is that it's not clear what's going to happen, but we've got this small group of people, including the president and Sidney Powell and others, Rudy Giuliani, who are trying to get this situation to the Supreme Court. What is needed is an analytic study of all of these voting precincts where we think there is fraud. Let me see if I can get some Tucker to play here.
By former prosecutor Sidney Powell, who has also served as General Mike Flynn's lawyer. For more than a week, Powell has been all over conservative media with the following story. This election was stolen by a collection of international leftists who manipulated vote tabulating software in order to flip millions of votes from Donald Trump to Joe Biden. The other day on television, Powell said of Trump that when the fraud is finally uncovered, quote, "I think we'll find he had at least 80 million votes." In other words, rigged software stole about 7 million votes in this election. Here's some of what Powell said today about the software.
One of its most characteristic features is its ability to flip votes. It can set and run an algorithm that probably ran all over the country to take a certain percentage of votes from President Trump and flip them to President Biden, which we might never have uncovered had the votes for President Trump not been so overwhelming in so many of these states that it broke the algorithm that had been plugged into the system. And that's what caused them to have to shut down in the states they shut down in.
That was a few hours ago, but Sidney Powell has been saying similar things for days. On Sunday night, we texted her after watching one of her segments. What Powell was describing would amount to the single greatest crime in American history. Millions of votes stolen in a day. Democracy destroyed. The end of our centuries-old system of self-government. Not a small thing. Now, to be perfectly clear, we did not dismiss any of it. We don't dismiss anything anymore, particularly when it's related to technology. We've talked to too many Silicon Valley whistleblowers. We've seen too much. After 4 years, this may be the single most open-minded show on television. We literally do UFO segments, not because we're crazy or even been interested in the subject, but because there is evidence that UFOs are real and everyone lies about it. There's evidence that a lot of things that responsible people used to dismiss out of hand as ridiculous are in fact real. And we don't care who mocks it. The louder the Yale Political Science Department and the staff of the Atlantic magazine scream, "Conspiracy theory," the more interested we tend to be. That's usually a sign you're over the target. A lot of people with impressive-sounding credentials in this country are frauds. They have no idea what they're doing. They're children posing as authorities, and when they're caught, they lie, and then they blame you for it. We see that every day. It's the central theme of this show, and will continue to be. So that's a long way of saying we took Sidney Powell seriously. We had no intention of fighting with her. We've always respected her work. We simply wanted to see the details. How could you not want to see them? So we invited Sidney Powell on the show. We would have given her the whole hour. We would have given her the entire week, actually, and listened quietly the whole time at rapt attention. That's a big story. But she never sent us any evidence, despite a lot of requests, polite requests, not a page. When we kept pressing, she got angry and told us to stop contacting her. When we checked with others around the Trump campaign, people in positions of authority, they told us Powell has never given them any evidence either, nor did she provide any today at the press conference. Powell did say that electronic voting is dangerous, and she's right. We're with her there. But she never demonstrated that a single actual vote was moved illegitimately by software from one candidate to another. Not one. So why are we telling you this? We're telling you this because it's true. And in the end, that's all that matters, the truth. It's our only hope. It's our best defense. And it's how we're different from them. We care what's
all right. So I want you to know what's out there. And Tucker is a great guy, very smart. But you have to understand that he's got to show that he has to keep his credibility up on, which I do respect. And here is what I would disagree with on the on his statements. And by the way, I guess call in 516-387-1963. What can I say about this? Because I've been pushing this myself. Well, all right. So, you know, I know that Tucker's in front of everybody and he's got people that research and everything. And I've done a lot of research on this and published some articles. If you've listened before, you'll recognize that. So I've got 10 reasons here for you to take this more seriously. The country is undergoing this really profound and very disturbing time. And I can describe it for you how I see it, and I think that it's an accurate way to communicate it, but there's going to be other people in their experience. They're going to have noticed other things, but I think looking at the days that we're living in, what sticks out to me, number one, an inordinate focus on material prosperity. We're living in the most prosperous times in history, and just think back to what your parents or grandparents had to deal with. I mean, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have microwaves. They didn't have high-performance cars. And I'm not even talking about fast. I'm talking about cars that don't need a lot of work to start up every day. We have an extraordinary military. We have had, and we've been lucky to have extremely efficient and well-trained leaders. And oftentimes very, very much competent. And we have high expectations. And in the last, say, 50 years in America, we seem to have lost our way. And one example you could say is Vietnam, ill-advised, even though the men that went there and fought and died or came back were heroes, and the same thing with Iraq and Afghanistan, but we've lost our way because, you know, one of the things the Founding Fathers said is avoid foreign entanglements. The church, the Catholic Church, is just totally imploding, in my opinion, because the Pope stands for everything against the church in his personal life, whatever that means, and his personal opinion. in the Christian church in general, we have lost the idea that the society is under the church. The church is now just an element in society, and so you've got a lot of things that previously would have been completely unacceptable, like abortion, but also like gay marriage. And what has happened is the court system, but especially the Supreme Court, has allowed itself to be a super legislature. And so instead of letting abortion or gay marriage or these other things play out in individual states and allow the states to adapt to what their people want, these things are forced on Americans, and it takes away the sense of there's a sense of being in control of your own country. Because the claim of the Supreme Court, and this follows on with John Roberts' leadership, is that the court knows better than anybody else. Now, the court was at one time supposed to be the voice of the Constitution, right? Whether things are legal or not. And now it is just the voice of what you're going to have to follow. And it is not a Christian body, and it is not a biblical body. So the upshot, the bottom line is that we become super duper efficient in our science, in our transportation, in our communication, in our capitalism, and yet there's this undercurrent of dissatisfaction because the people who are Christians feel disconnected. And so the church has kind of taken its hands off the wheel, and we're totally out of control. And don't forget that we were from Plymouth Rock. We were started off as a Christian colony that was not a theocracy. It was just a bunch of Christians, but they came up with a modern image of the world, which is to have a constitution, to have a Bill of Rights, to be under the leadership of people that while they were Christian, were not forcing beliefs on all of the people that were in their community, and that we still follow that to this day. But let me get back, though, to what's going on. There's this sense that America's out of control, and one of the most disturbing things that I think is that we're dealing with is that there's no more right or wrong, which is the element that you call postmodernism. Everything's an opinion, or more likely, truth doesn't exist. So why have an opinion? But I'm going to give you why I think that it's still reasonable to support Trump and Sidney Powell based on what I know about this case. The claim is in all of the swing states, the polls were shut down, and the fact is that the vote totals spiked after that for Biden, and he won all these states. So I think that Tucker is misusing the term, the term evidence. What is evidence? You know, evidence could be a fingerprint. It could be a bullet casing. It could be an eyewitness. And we do have those for Trump. We do have affidavits. It can be the dog that didn't bark. There's all kinds of things that can be evidence. And so Tucker understandably doesn't have, he's not a lawyer, he doesn't have a legal understanding of evidence. But this is going to end up in a court of law, as far as I can tell. And I think the only danger is a John Roberts who thinks that he's above the law. And his position is to keep the strength of the Supreme Court and not get involved in things that he thinks will take away from its respect or power. And that's who the guy is, you know. So consider this. I got 10 pieces of proof for you as to why that there was a massive vote fraud. Number one, a very strange turn of events. And these, without explanation, without really precedent, all of these voting districts, all of the headquarters shut down overnight. Now, something was going on overnight, and they, and a lot of them, they wouldn't let in poll watchers, and they even put coverings up on the window. That alone is extremely disturbing. Now, you've got to have people there watching. You have them there watching because bad things happen when you don't. And the guy that started the company, Mujiak or whatever his name is, said there was a million extra votes that occurred in 2017 in a Venezuelan election. And he said that wasn't caused by us. And he says the answer to that is you have somebody there in case that happens. And then I realized, you know what? The guy basically gave up the whole game there. I don't know if he meant to, but his response was, you have poll watchers in case it takes on a million phantom votes. So to me, that it just admits what they're up to. Number one, strange turn of events for the votes. Number two, Biden's whole election is based on lies. He's not competent to be president. People are not really talking about that anymore. But his campaign is a lie. So lying more is not going to bother him. History of Smartmatic. Smartmatic was started in 2003, 2004 in Venezuela, and the purpose of it was to throw an election for Hugo Chavez. He invested in the company, put $200,000 in there, and he then used it, even though he was way down in the polls, of course, because he's a socialist and people suffer under socialism. And if you think about the way that the country has turned from being the most prosperous country in South America, the world's largest petroleum resources, to absolute squalor and poverty in a few years, is it an accident? It cannot possibly be an accident. All right, affidavits. There's affidavits of a lot of people that saw things or were involved in things, including a former general from Venezuela who now lives in the United States, who put onto the record the purpose of Smartmatic was voter fraud. Witnesses, there's a number of witnesses that have also said we've saw this stuff and we'll be, you know, help out with your case. Smartmatic elections repeatedly bring out fraud, are involved in fraud, and you're talking about Brazil, Argentina, the Philippines, Canada, Mexico. It goes on and on. There's always something illegal going on in a Smartmatic election. This is all proof. All of this is proof. Seven, the folks behind Smartmatic, this guy that started the company, he was good friends with Chavez. And the owner of the company, one of the owners, is Lord Mark Malik Brown of the UK, who's basically the best friend of George Soros. And the speculation is Soros owns these companies. Now, you've got these different companies. You've got Smartmatic. You've got Sequoia voting systems. Then you've got – that turns into Dominion voting systems. And you've got all of this stuff going on. Nobody knows who even owns it because it's a tightly held organization, corporation in offshore. So they don't have to bring out who owns it. The Russia hoax. Remember how much time and money – an effort they put into getting Trump when everybody knew from the very beginning it was a hoax. That's the same group that we are going to believe had a clean election. The number nine, importance of Kamala to the cause. Kamala can't be lost her opportunity because they've been waiting for this. The socialists have been waiting for this for 100 years, right? So you've got to get her into power because she could never be elected directly to president because she's a socialist, a Marxist, the most far left person in the Senate. And ultimately, the Democratic Party is a religious cult. So what about evidence? I believe that they're holding off this evidence behind kind of closed doors type of a thing until they have an opportunity to get it out there and for people to examine it, who need to examine it, protecting names and protecting evidence. Now, here's a little bit from the Eric Metaxas show with Lou Dobbs. Check this out.
This is the Eric Metaxas show.
Hey there, folks. As I often like to do, being a, you know, sort of a legend in the industry, I said sometimes I want to give back. There's a new generation coming up, people maybe you haven't heard of, and I want to sow into that generation. The other day, I saw an interview by Lewis Dobbs, I believe is his name, with Sidney Powell. I put it on my YouTube page and it blew up. And so probably I can take credit for the career that Lou Dobbs has in the future. But you know what? When you get as big as I am at this point, you want to give back. And so that's what I'm doing right now. Is it Lewis or is it Lou?
You can call me Lou.
I can call you Lou. Well, then, Lou Dobbs, welcome to television. I love what you did with Sidney Powell the other day, and I will stop joking eventually. Your interview with Sidney Powell, but much more importantly, much more broadly, your heroic voice at this time has meant so much to so many. I don't want to put that much pressure on you, but I think you're aware more than most of where we are in history at this time. So first of all, before we talk about what you're thinking, I just want to say thank you from those of us who've been encouraged and heartened by your stand for this president and for self-government. Thank you. I didn't want to embarrass you. I just wanted to make you laugh. But I guess you've been doing some interviews that have been, unfortunately, important because not many other people have been interviewing people like Sidney Powell. So can you talk about where you think we are? Those of us who saw her, we've had her on this program, but when we saw the release, the Kraken video and so on and so forth, I thought this is a new day. Thank God for Lou Dobbs being willing to put this heroic woman on his program. What do you think of where we are right now?
I think we're at a historic moment, obviously, in the history of this republic. It is, I think most people understand that too, Eric. This is not just a nickel dime fraud in a couple of precincts in Cook County. This is a nationwide assault on our electoral system, its integrity, and the fact that the national left-wing media, the corporatist media, are doing their very best to either diminish the moment or to ignore it altogether is speaking very loudly to all Americans about just how serious this is. When we are looking at software that is not operating as it is designed to do, as most of us would assume it's designed to do, when we're looking at a piece of software that was used to manipulate elections in Venezuela, when we're looking at election companies, no one seems to know who owns them, and they don't have any requirements for public disclosure. Only the state of Texas, Eric, only the state of Texas refused to license Dominion Software, and they did so with such emphatic protection of the Texas electoral system. They're true heroes because they stood up against this. Now
there's so many levels to this, Lou. That's what's I think difficult for people. I mean, on the one hand, Rudy Giuliani, I think yesterday on Newsmax or something like that, kind of went down the list of, you know, we have this kind of issue going on in Nevada and this issue going into Georgia, whatever. And it's significant and probably ultimately dispositive, but it is not at the level of what Sidney Powell was outlining on your program the other day. And knowing Trump to be the genius that he is, I wonder whether he's kind of hanging back with that and letting people sweat. But what is your sense of how it's possible to put forth the information that Sidney and others have collected. Where do you suppose that is? Because folks like Rudy Giuliani really don't even mention that or go near that. I don't know if that's right. A different silo and they're not working in that. What is your sense of that piece of it?
It's a different part of the investigation. At this point, we have mail-in ballots, which are obviously we've seen a fraudulent count in a number of jurisdictions. That's clear. It is, as you say, dispositive. That's where we are. In terms of software and the operating systems that make up Dominion and two other voting companies in this country who have the majority of the market, what's the vast majority, 90% of the market, that is, there's a coalition. We're told, I have it on very good authority, that the FBI is investigating. But aside from that, there are coalitions of private citizens and organizations who are trying to get to the bottom of what has happened. You will recall five states, their counting stopped at just about the same precise moment in the middle of the night, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Why did that happen? Contemporaneously, simultaneously. What happened during that period? Well, we know one thing, that Donald Trump was running ahead in the system. His votes, he had a significant lead. And when we emerged from that period in which they were offline, suddenly Biden had a lead. And there's no basis for it. There was no counting going on. There were no ballots to be run. Yet, suddenly, as many as 128,000 in one instance, 130-some-odd thousand in another, all of those batches were all Biden votes, and no one can tell us where they came from.
Are you startled, Lou, to be one of the very few voices holding out hope and more than hope that Trump would be reelected? I am surprised, honestly, that so few have been willing to go out on the limb that you've been willing to go out on.
I guess I'm not surprised because I've been alone in a few fights in my career. And I'm not uncomfortable with that. But what is troubling to me is that this is, I believe, has devolved to what it clearly is. It's a fight between good and evil. This is a country right now that is in the grip of an apathy that would accept consequences that they don't comprehend. They don't understand the cause. And we have a fierce demand on the part of the left for conformity and silence. And if that is not
well, I think you get a feel for that. So I don't criticize Tucker because in a sense, you know, these guys all have, and the ladies involved in this have a product that they're protecting, and the product is themselves. And if they get onto something that is not defensible, if they get caught out, then they become a laughing stock and they lose their power, their authority and everything. But I think it would have been better if Beck had simply just said, I don't claim to know all this. I'm not an expert on Smartmatic or any of these voting systems, and I'm just going to hold off instead of trying to smoke Sidney Powell, who's been an excellent attorney, federal prosecutor, and has been an excellent attorney for Michael Flynn for all the good it's done him. I mean, they're still trying to throw him in prison. Think about that. If Biden wins, they're going to throw Flynn in prison, even though he had never did anything wrong. So, you know, you've got a situation where a lot of terrible things are going to happen if Biden is elected, one of which is they're going to try to cancel everything that Trump did, any executive order. Now, when Trump came in, he didn't immediately cancel all the executive orders of Obama. He was careful with the ones he agreed with and didn't. But I could see with the craziness, the level of crazy in the Democratic Party now is surreal. I mean, it's absolutely, and I mean, totally bizarre. And so, you know, we must understand what is going on. And what is happening right now is that the things that we used to count on are missing from the average person. Now, here's a question. Why is that? Another thing that's going to happen, by the way, is they're going to go after Trump and try to hang a felony on him and try to get him into some jail time or to keep him from running for office again. And that's what should be one of the main things, is if Trump doesn't get back into office, to protect him and put a massive legal fund together for him, but also put groups together to help these guys get back into office. I mean, who's going to protect us from China? Joe Biden? When he's getting so much money, he's gotten multi-millions from them and from Russia. Now, he's a pawn anyway. It doesn't matter. He's not mentally fit. But what is going to happen if this doesn't work out for Trump? Now, let me ask you once again, do you think that there was any voter fraud? And if you say no, then how did all this stuff happen? I mean, let me ask you a more basic question is, if this company was created for voter fraud to throw elections, is it just a coincidence that it's being used by these states and that there were all kinds of anomalies and all of a sudden Biden wound up really with what seems like millions of more votes than he had before they shut everything down? Now, if you're asking how it works, you would have a set up so you could see how many votes each party got. And then after that, you would have the ability to flip votes. And they put in an algorithm, and I had mentioned this yesterday, but say if your algorithm says for every vote Trump gets, he ends up with 0.75 of a vote. For every vote Biden gets, he ends up with 1.25 of a vote. So you've got him, you've got with every transaction that happens, Biden ends up with half of a vote extra. And so, you know, what did Tucker want to see from that? If this is being done on an electronic level, how do you prove it? I mean, what was Tucker expecting? And I don't blame him for asking, but, and then the votes are taken and they are sent to Spain and they're sent to Germany. So, in other words, we're so incompetent that we need to have we can't even collect votes, count them, and process them in America. In a company that's still really owned by Venezuelans, which is a communist country, which is our absolute enemy, and possibly certainly owned by the best friend of George Soros, but probably owned by George Soros and his $36 billion empire, his fortune, is it really naive to ask what in the hell is going on and to say that we don't accept that? So I think the person who's the most on point is Sidney Powell. I think the way that she handled it has been good. She doesn't owe anybody any evidence until the evidence is time to come up, because, you know, things have really changed in this country. And if you go and try to destroy somebody with no reason, and like Trump, you try to claim he's the next Hitler, a lot of people would get up and cheer. Now, why do they hate Trump in the first place? Well, part of it is probably jealousy. He's a billionaire, you know. He's very smart. He's got this TV show that was number one for a number of years. But I think it's gotten to the point, and you saw it with Sarah Palin, where they went after her and tore her to shreds on the proof of nothing. You just repeatedly say it, and people have a natural desire, or I should say at least a natural enjoyment of scapegoating others and making vicious assaults against them. I mean, that's unfortunately an element of human nature. So you've got all of these people on the left who are very frustrated because Trump won, and all of their pet projects are being put into danger, and they're going to be snuffed out. And the answer to that is that you go and create a fake crime before he even gets into office, and you hang that over his head for 3 years and threaten him with it. When that doesn't work out as your strategy, then you switch it to impeachment and end up exposing the child of the other candidate, Hunter Biden, who took millions of dollars from our enemies and for such things as introductions. And when it comes out that he is a crack addict who smokes drugs and has sex and records it and is hanging around apparently underage girls, maybe as part of his family, but he's naked and walking around the kid getting high, nothing happens to him. The FBI gets the information during the impeachment and decides not to turn it in. Why? Because all of these people are Trump haters, and they're either inert, but they all hate Trump. Now, why? So get down, tap down into the purpose or the cause of Trump hate. And I think there's a couple of different things, but Lou Dobson said something, it's a fight between good and evil. So where do we get our ideas of good? Well, I mean, for a lot of people, it's from the Bible or it's from church. And then there's the general sense that if a culture is honest, things will work better. But you've got all these people who are living in a fantasy. Now, consider why Hugo Chavez was in the position he was in to begin with. Why did he get in? You know, he ran on all the same promises that other socialists run on. And that didn't turn out well. We know it didn't turn out well because the people were very, very unhappy with him. And so he was down 40, 60, 40, you know. And he's dismantling the society. And why would he want to do that when Venezuela was a very prosperous nation? A communist dictator does that because the weaker the population is, the easier they are to control and the more they need the government. And so what does it tell us about human nature that people are so desperate for power that they would impoverish and turn into idiots? I mean, basically, the American population has been turned into morons because it's easier to persuade a moron that you're acting in their best interest if they have no education and they are people in this country, kids in this country are not trained about the founding fathers. They're not trained how to write, how to respond to arguments, how to think. They're not trained how to use critical thinking. Instead, they're told these teacher unions are very, very liberal. They are taught along the way that what the purpose of humanity is to be socialist. And that means that private property is an illusion, and that you owe it to your fellow man and woman to give them money if they're not working, regardless of the reason, or if you have more money than them. So you're taking the most prosperous and efficient and creative people in society, the most long-suffering, the most disciplined and self-effacing people, and you're teaching them that the reward for their hard work is to make more money for everybody else. So there's never been, look at Venezuela, there's never been a successful socialist country. And we're on the verge of becoming socialist if these people get in. Now, what's a bulwark? What's a what is a fence against this? Having the Senate is a fence. Cutting down on the size of the House, because I think we won 13 or 15 House seats. Republicans didn't lose any seats. And here's another reason that I say there's a fraudulent vote. No Republican House member lost. Only the left did. We lost one or two seats in the Senate, but we gained another one back. So we're down one. So where's this blue wave? I mean, you spend 4 years defaming somebody and saying how they're Stalin, Chairman Mao, the worst person ever. And it turns out all Trump did was try to fight for America. Put America first, stand up against China. And everybody could see it. He cared very much for the country. He was not out starting wars. He underwent an incredible amount of abuse and harassment, getting sued for things that he hadn't done, getting, you know, investigated a independent counsel on something that there's literally not one fact that was correct. None of those people are, if Trump doesn't get back into office, none of those people are going to be prosecuted. I really think in contemplation of the difference between the two parties, one party's in favor of law. The other party is in favor of chaos and lying and cheating. One party is in favor of prosperity, of building up the country. The other party is in favor of punishing the wealthy and redistributing, but also breaking down business. You got to get rid of, you want to really control a country, you got to get rid of the middle class, because the rich people will always look out for themselves, you know? So you focus on doing a kind of politics that is destructive, that is extremely disrespectful. You remember Nancy Pelosi and her crazy hatred of Trump, standing up behind him and making faces, clapping towards him like, you know, some demented old grandma. And then she takes the speech that Trump gives and pre-tears it so she can get up and tear it into pieces to show him what she thinks of him. And that's the party. It doesn't matter who Trump was. It only mattered what he wanted to do. That whoever that person was would be torn to shreds, would be torn up in the media every day. When you read the newspaper about Trump, how often is it fair? Maybe 1 out of 10, 1 out of 20. When you listen to these people on the cable or on the, you know, the mainstream, the big TV companies, how often is it accurate? I mean, and it is, all of this stuff is designed. All of it is designed to tear apart Trump. So you've got a party that is driven by a religious fervor, because they're not, you know, they're not Christian people doing this. You've got a fake religion, a political religion. And all of the elements in it are disgusting, or they are unfair, they're cheap shots, they're lies, they're starting a, you know, rumor campaigns and all this. So the people that are in this movement are liars. And they only care about power. But when they get power, what are they going to do with it? They're gonna, if they had ultimate power, what would the Democrats do? Think about it. They'd put Trump in prison immediately. They would bankrupt him. They'd take away all of his money. They would forcefully rewrite history. They'd probably bring Barack Obama back as a leader. They would depress the economy. They would tear down the wall. They would enter into every single global movement, global governance that they could. They would radically support global warming, which means the reallotment, the reapportionment of trillions of dollars to the poor countries, buying carbon credits, shutting down industry, getting rid of fracking, and turning the spigot off on oil. We'd be driving green cars. I mean, just think, that's just scratching the surface. Taxes would go through the roof. Welfare would leap. The government would take over every element of the teaching curriculum to give a false history of the West, which they would tear to shreds, of the Reformation, of the War of Independence, of the Civil War. They would give falsified information about everything. They would turn Karl Marx into the next Jesus. And they would make the society along socialist lines, Marxist lines. So what would be the end result? You'd have Venezuela. You know, the power. And think about how crazy George Soros is. He wants to live in the United States. Why is that? Because we're the most prosperous and fair and free nation in history. And what does he want to do to repay the great gift that we've given him to become a citizen? How does he want to repay us? Well, he funds Black Lives Matter. He funds Antifa. He supports district attorneys who don't want to enforce the law. He wants to get rid of misdemeanors. He funds the voting system called Smartmatic. His best friend is an owner. And what does he want to see done to America? Well, for some reason, although he's made a ton of money in capitalism, George Soros wants to disrupt capitalism. He wants to, in essence, super fortify the state. He wants the state to be taken over by socialists and leftists. He wants a socialist state. This guy's insane. I mean, he has to be crazy, because when he was a kid, they were hiding the fact that he was a Jew. He was the assistant to the person who was going around and taking away the money and the wealth, the property, the jewels of the Jewish people that he was related to, who were being taken to the concentration camps to be killed. He was sitting shotgun with the guy that was doing this, going into the houses and taking stuff. He said it was the greatest part of his life. This is on 60 Minutes. And let me see if I probably have a clip of this in here from the old days, but okay, here we go. Listen to this, George Soros. George Soros saying, "The happiest time of my life," right here.
It was actually probably the happiest year of my life, that year of German occupation. For me, it was a very positive experience. It's a strange thing, you know, because you see incredible suffering around you, and in fact, you are in considerable danger yourself. But you're 14 years old and you don't believe that it can actually touch you. You have a belief in yourself, your belief in your father. It's a very happy-making, exhilarating experience.
So it was exhilarating when his Jewish people were being ripped out of their homes and relocated to concentration camps with the purpose of either getting rid of them out of the country. And then Hitler came up with the final solution. The final solution is they were trying to drive the Jews out of every European country. When that didn't quite pan out, the final solution was to put them into concentration camps with the purpose of gassing or killing them. So that was the happiest time of George Soros' life. And you just got to ask yourself, is the guy a psychopath? Is he a sociopath? So this is the person who's had this enormous impact, and we've been so decadent, we've been so happy in our power and in our comfort, we have forgot the difference between socialism and capitalism. And don't forget, socialism is not just an economics, it's a government. It's an approach to government. And in the same way, capitalism is democratic republicanism, socialism is pseudo democratic. It's not republican, because republicanism means self-government. It means an open process, and you don't have that in any socialist country. In socialism, you have people that believe that they are their purpose in life is to take the power away from other people and force them to do what's right. And instead of that really happening, what you have is failed economies and people living in complete squalor and poverty and just misery. So what is the purpose of socialism? I mean, if it doesn't work in a state level, how is it going to work in an international level? And the answer to that is they're not worried about that. What they're worried about is taking away the United States, which is traditionally the mainstay of liberty. And we had always fought for the freedom of other countries, if you think about it. We, in World War I and World War II, and we believed in not subjugation, but prosperity. So we bombed Germany and Japan back to the Stone Age, especially Germany. And then we went in with the Marshall Plan and rebuilt them. And that the Marshall Plan, I guess, was in Europe. And then funny enough, the Japanese, when they were rebuilding, brought in leadership out of the Catholic Church, who brought in a lot of their traditional and classic ideas on economics and helped build Japan into a colossus and Germany into a colossus. And so that, I don't think Germany had the Catholics, but for leadership, but they certainly did in Japan. But so the upshot there is that the people that we're fighting against, the people were wondering, would they throw an election? I mean, every element is out there. The people are only interested in power. They have no interest in democracy and republicanism, if you want to put it in those terms. They are socialists. They're Marxists. And they would use any element possible to get somebody like Trump out of office so they could take over. Now, it seemed like when Trump got into power, he was going to be a wrecking ball for the Democrats. And instead, they used this, never let a disaster go to waste. They used the fact that we had this outbreak of the plague and the Black Lives Matter together to try to crush the Republicans and try to crush Trump. And it seemed like Trump was still winning because there were massive crowds that would gather across the United States to support him. No crowds ever came to celebrate Biden. And there were signs. And I heard this from many, many people. You drive across certain the cities, there were no Biden signs. There were just Trump signs everywhere. So, I mean, of course, this election was thrown. And then the ultimate question is, what are we going to do about it? And so what needs to happen is the Supreme Court needs to get introduced to all these facts and then to do an investigation. There has to be an analysis. Now, this guy that started this company who said, you know, they threw 1 million votes. It's not our fault. And we've got to... we've got a very robust way of finding this stuff out. And then he said something that was extremely odd. What you need is watchers. You have to have watchers who are watching the votes. And that's how you correct this stuff. And I'm thinking, wow, apply that to this situation. Because they didn't let the watchers into these voting precincts. Because they knew what this guy said about his own company, Smartmatic, and Dominion. They knew that if there were people watching, they couldn't get away with it. So there's a ton of evidence. I totally disagree with Tucker. I do respect the fact that he's calling for proof, but the evidence is already out there. Now, how about the ultimate evidence? Well, we've got to go and do an analysis, an analytic of these voting machines and of the votes, and to see what happened. But the evidence is out there. The evidence is definitely out there. We just got to hunt it down. And we you know what? You watch Fox News, and a lot of the hosts are turning to the left. Why is that? Because they think that Trump is out of power. His power is broken. That means the power of the conservatives is broken. And they were never, either they were never conservative to begin with, or they don't stand for anything. But I mean, if you can imagine being on Fox News and not being a conservative, and, you know, some people like Neil Cavuto and Wallace are not conservatives to begin with, but if you can imagine the agony of being on Fox. So Fox is changing. You're getting rid of the format. Their numbers are going to drop. And doesn't the family that owns Fox or Disney or whatever care? No, because as we've seen time and again, the left is willing to trade prosperity to have leftism in power. And anyway, here, I'll take you out.
90 seconds.
Almost done here. Thanks for listening. Kelly O'Connell, every morning, 7 a.m. In El Paso, New Mexico area. Have a great day. Ciao.
I've been drifting on the sea of heartbreak, trying to get myself ashore.